Hello, everyone, and welcome back to MF Uncensored. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you could find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcast. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and Cinematic Adventures. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio is author, podcaster, musician, and all around just pretty cool guy. And that's Mr. Aaron Frail. Aaron, how are you today?
Good, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it is my honor. Thank you so much for being on. I'm really glad we got to connect. And all right, we're gonna jump right into it. The biggest reason we connected is because Aaron is an author and his new series has the word misfit in it. Like, how can I not have you on the show?
Oh, I know. It's like a misfit brother from another mother. So, misfits unite.
I'm gonna have to make t-shirts now.
I know.
They're gonna be superly awkward though. They're gonna be awkward misfits. I gotta write
Yeah.
this down. But
I
Aaron,
mean,
here's
aren't misfits inherently awkward?
You would think, but I'm trying to reclaim the word.
All right, that take it back.
Take it back. Make it fun. But Aaron, seriously, thank you for coming on. We really do appreciate it. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself first?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Aaron Frail, and I'm an author, a musician, and a podcaster. So I, started off my creative life in a heavy metal prog rock band called Spiral. And we produced over 14 albums at this point, all online. Russians really love it. So every time we release an album, there's a whole lot of hits coming from RU. So shout out to all the Russians out there
All the
that
Russian people listening.
love heavy metal.
That's still like a thing though. Like, Russia, Germany, they're very big in like the aggressive heavy metal genre.
Oh yeah, no, they are. Like my bandmates, we always talked about how if we were a little bit younger, I'm a dad now, so it's kind of hard to go off to another country and play heavy metal shows. But we always talked about if we were younger, man, we would have just, packed up and lived in a van somewhere in Eastern Europe or or Russia or something like that, We
Still the
had
dream. Still the dream. I would love to, like, I'm in my late 30s now, which is horrifying to say sometimes. And I still, like, my wife and I joke about how we're just gonna like backpack through Europe, like just leave all responsibilities and just go travel. Like, that's the goal.
Yeah, that's actually, we were actually just talking about it this morning. My wife is a college teacher, and there's this college at sea or something that you could do, and they hire teachers, and basically you live on a cruise ship for like 6 months and teach classes, and
Where
we're
was
like,
this when I was in college?
I know, and yeah, totally. And as the t I mean, yes. So we were like, we got our retirement plans now, at least,
Yep, perfect. There you go. It's funny. I'm not a big cruise ship guy though. I went on a cruise once when I was like maybe I had to have been about 20, 21 years old, and I went with my family, and it just I didn't get seasick. I just don't like the constant motion.
Yeah, no, I could see that. Like, for me, it was strangely enough how much of a party thing it is. So my wife and I, when we travel, we love to just kind of hang out in a place, Like probably the best day that we had when we were in Italy, we went to Italy this last summer, was we just went to the non like touristy part of Rome, just this cool medieval neighborhood, and just sat by a fountain eating gelato. And it was just like, yeah, this is the life here. You know what I mean? Like
Oh.
avoided the crowds. Yeah, it was so much fun. And yeah, cruising is for us was like, man, we don't get enough time in each place, like you get
Right.
a couple hours, that's it. But we were thinking cruising is good for if you want to go to an area where you don't need a lot of time,
Yeah.
but
Yeah, and for me, like, it's the same thing though. If I'm gonna go someplace, my wife and I have two levels of vacation. One level is relaxation. Like our honeymoon, we did relaxation. We laid on the beach, we drank, we enjoyed. Then we have our fun vacations where we want to do things. So
yeah.
it's funny. We went to Italy not this past summer, the summer before. And
Oh, okay.
yeah, so that's actually kind of funny.
That is kind of funny, right?
But same thing, like we went to Rome for a few days and then we went to the Amalfi Coast with my family for most of it, but we went to like Vesuvius and Pompeii. We did Sorrento. Like we did things. I
Yeah, we didn't do Pompeii. I really want to do that. We did Venice. I was like, man, we got to get to Venice before it sinks into the ocean, you
before
know,
it's gone.
when like I hear it floods like a third of the year now.
It's
So luckily
wild.
we didn't go in the flooding season, but yeah, we went to we were like, yeah, we got to get Venice off our list, you know.
Yeah, I went to Venice years ago, and we went for a week, and we didn't realize that you're kind of done with Venice after the first day or two. Like, there's not a lot going on in Venice, but it was a trip to Italy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say no.
Right, totally. Yeah, that's what we did. I think it was like 3 or 4 days in Venice. And then we took a cruise ship around and ended up in Barcelona, which like the few days in Barcelona, we went to Park Güell, you know, the one that was made by that, forget his name, but he does all the very strange buildings. Just, you know, the architecture in Barcelona is wild. And Park Güell is one of those parks that's so iconic that you have to like book in advance to get in, and then you have to go at that certain time that you book. But you know, once you're in, you can stay as long as you want. But yeah, it was such a experience because you know, I have a young kid, and you know, we were at one of the just the playgrounds where you know all the other local kids were playing, and in the distance there was some guy playing a trombone, some really sad, melancholic music at Park Güell in Barcelona, and we're like, this is like out of a movie set or something, you know, like just the background music and you know the kids playing, and it's a very nice because it doesn't get that crowded because it really is just a, you know, you have a limited amount of people that they let in, you know.
Right.
I mean, locals can go in as much as they want. They don't have to book a time, but all us travelers, you
All the
know.
travelers, all the tourists. Yep. But
Right.
that's such a trip, man. Like Spain is on the list. We're going to Hawaii this year. That was on our list. So
Well, yeah.
we're finally making that happen, thank God. And then like every year it feels like that list gets, even if we go places, the list still gets bigger. I don't know how it happens.
Oh yeah, no, totally. Because then you learn about new places. Like Bermuda is next summer, so we're gonna do our beach, you know.
Somehow we got stuck doing, most people go like on a vacation every like maybe one a year, if anything.
Right.
We did two because, rewind. When we went to Italy, we had already booked our honeymoon in Jamaica. So that was booked.
Oh.
And my dad messaged all the kids. He's like, "Hey, if I were to arrange a trip to Italy and all you guys have to do is pay for your airfare and whatever you want to do there, would anybody be interested?" I've never seen a like phones go off so quickly. Like everybody's like, "Yes."
I'm
But
like, yes.
we're like, "Shit, we're already booked for Jamaica." And we're both like, "But that's Italy's a trip of a
Can't
lifetime."
pass that up.
So we ended up
Yeah, no
doing
way.
two trips. We do our two trips, and then the next year we do no trips. And now this year we're like, "Are we gonna do two trips again this year?" So who knows? I can't even keep track anymore.
Yeah, we're trying to do like a United States trip 1 year and then a abroad trip the next year. That's sort of what we've been doing because this year, I mean, I guess Bermuda would be technically abroad, but like we're gonna be in Cape Cod for a lot of it before we go to Bermuda, you know, because that's like my wife's family is from Cape Cod, sort of distantly in the past. So,
I
you know,
gotcha.
like they're, I mean, they're all from California now, but they were from Cape Cod.
And now that we've established travel plans, so you and I are very busy for the next year.
Right.
So you're an author, which is one of the coolest things. I love talking to authors because, I always say that as kids, we are encouraged to have imagination. And imagination slowly starts to go away. And as you get older, people tell you to stop, living in your fantasy worlds or whatever it is. But authors are so cool because they get to take, they're basically using their imagination as adults. And I think it's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny because most authors have more book ideas than they could ever possibly write in their life. You know, like that's it's just, you know, I have a file where I write down every time I have a book idea. I would say, you know, at this point I got like 23 books, and I would say that probably only, you know, a fifth of my ideas have actually made it into a book form. You know, so you now have to go, well, what's the most exciting one? You know, like what's the one that I really, really want to do, you know?
See, I get that. Like for podcasting, I feel like my wife has to slow me down sometimes. I'm like, I can do this and I can do this. And she's like, you need to do this and this first. Like I get so excited. Like I same thing. I have my, for those of you guys watching, I have my little notebook with just ideas and notes and things that I keep. Like every time I get something creative, I'm just like, I gotta write this down. Cause I was one of those people that I would think of a ton of ideas and then I would forget them 40 minutes later.
Oh yeah, no, same here. Absolutely. Yeah, if I don't write it down, it's gone.
Yeah.
You
So,
know, especially because like some of my ideas just come formed in a dream. Like there's a whole book series that I wrote because I had a dream. It's like a sci-fi series, and I had a dream of like an alien prison with all sorts of like Star Wars cantina type aliens in the prison. And you know, I've like wrote a whole book series. I mean, it started off as a short story, and then the short story was just to get to that prison. And then after they escaped from the prison, I was like, I got space pirates now. Okay, I'll write a space pirate book series.
love it. That it's combining two of the favorite things in American culture, especially outer space and pirates.
Right.
It's just such a great combination. But it used to be westerns. Westerns were the big thing. Like you watch movies from like the 70s and 80s, the spaghetti western, that like it was a huge genre. But I think pirates are really making the comeback.
Oh yeah. Well, and Westerns still do, especially in science fiction, Westerns still have their thing, like Serenity, Firefly, that series is, you know,
Oh, it's such a
a
classic.
Western. Yeah,
I
yes.
still argue Cowboys versus Aliens, as bad as it is with Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford. Like it was the best concept. It was really like James Bond and Han Solo fighting aliens. What? And then
I know. Yeah,
just.
that should have been like the best movie in all of history. It's almost sad when you have a concept that amazing that
And
doesn't pan out.
that's probably like as a writer, do you ever find yourself like, hey, I have this really great idea, but I just don't either, I don't know how to put it into concept, or it just doesn't resonate afterwards?
You know, or as a writer, I think really what it is it's sometimes it's really like sometimes I have a really good idea, but it's after I published it. So like a really good example is when I first started writing, kind of back in 2013, I challenged myself to write one short story every month and publish it on Amazon. So that was sort of the beginning of when I started doing this. And I wrote a story about time travel and cowboys. And then I wrote another story about drones. And so when I collected all the short stories into a book, I called the book Cowboys and Drones. And then I realized after it was published, after everything, it's like, no one's going to read this book and get what they think they're getting of
Right.
cowboys and drones. And I was like, that is because they never appear in the same story. And I was like, oh my God, I had the setup for it because the cowboy one was time travel. So it's very easy to get a drone in that
Oh yeah,
situation,
yeah.
you know, and I
Wild
was
to
just like,
hunt.
man, I totally flubbed that one. Like that was, you know, a missed opportunity. I mean, I might maybe one day go back and write a book called Cowboys and Drones and actually have it be about cowboys and drones in the same story, but
Like Cowboys and Drones for real this time.
yeah,
Just
Cowboys
like a
and
little
Drones for
note in the
real.
box. Well,
Yeah, no
it's like
joke.
watching
There's cowboys and drones.
it's like watching like Batman versus Superman and they fight for 4 minutes. And you're like,
Oh,
oh,
yes.
that was the whole appeal. That's what I wanted to
I
talk about.
know.
But so you said you got started in 2013. Like what really kind of inspired you to put pen to paper?
Yeah, so when I was in college, I was part of a sketch comedy group that did about 20 original sketch comedy shows, and we always did like our whole way of working was taking a show that's playing in the area and doing something really silly on it. So for example, when every theater in town was doing Hamlet, we did Hamlet the Vampire Slayer. When every theater in town was doing Dracula, we did Dracula Goes to College, you know? And our shows were always like 10:30 at night when all the other shows got out. So it's like the way we were successful is we took what was already buzzing in town, did a spoof on it, and then you could do a double feature. You could go see the serious version of Dracula or Hamlet, and then you could come see us, you know?
I love it. That's hilarious. I love it.
Yeah. And it all accumulated where we actually ended up filming Hamlet the Vampire Slayer into sort of a really low low budget B flick, And that was sort of like, man, I was sort of addicted to writing at that point because, we were just churning out content constantly. And, eventually, as people do in college, everyone goes their separate ways. A friend of mine went to go teach in Japan. Another person went to grad school. Another one got a job,
Yeah,
like
no, I
eventually the group started sort of fracturing. And I was sort of one of the last people standing. And I was like, I don't want to stop writing. And so I switched to writing novels because I, doing theater and film, in order to be successful, you got to have a bunch of talented people. Like if you have a good actor but a bad script, it's a bad movie. If you have a good script but a bad actor, it's a bad movie. If you have a good script, good actor, but bad director, it's a bad movie. You know what I mean? Like you can't make a good theater or film production without everyone involved being highly talented and good at what they're doing, right?
Right.
And so I realized that if I wanted to really kind of go at it, be successful, make a, career at it, I would have to do something where I am the sole success or failure of the project, right? And I wouldn't say that all my books were successes. There were certainly a fair share of failures. But what was great about, looking back is that because I kept going, I just got better and better at what I did,
Right.
the first time I sat down to write anything, it was a terrible scene where two brothers were at a coffee shop, and because it was a play, I thought that people had to speak like Shakespearean. And so they're like, "Hello, thy brother. How does thy feel today?" Or something. You know what I mean? Like that
No,
was the
although
first thing.
no. Yep.
Right. And yeah. And I mean, so, but now looking back, since I've learned the steps, I went through the things, I, trial by fire, I finally have gotten to a point where I'm pretty, satisfied with my writing. And I think the fact that my latest series, the Misfits of Kharnt series, a fantasy series, got picked up by the number one, fantasy and sci-fi audiobook producer to do the audiobook and hired a really kick-ass narrator. I mean, she's so talented. I feel like, yeah, I finally, all that work that I put in is finally starting to sort of see fruition,
Oh, see, I love that, man. Like, A, that's just congratulations. That's like the
Oh,
coolest thing,
yeah.
and B, it's funny because I did an interview the other day and we were talking about similar vein. I was talking about the podcast and how if you listen to our first episode, oh God, it's so bad.
Oh,
It's,
I know.
oh God. Like we tried to re-release it for like, I think we had like our 200th episode or 300th episode or something. And we're like, let's re-release the first episode. I started listening to it. I was like, nope, never gonna do it. We're gonna lose everyone. Everybody loves the show. Still one of our highest downloaded episodes. I'll throw that out there because we annoyed everybody into listening to it. Because that's what you do. Family and friends first. Listen to my stuff. Read my books. Like all that stuff. So I love hearing success stories and like hearing that, hey, like I did this. I didn't give up and I pushed and I learned and I got better. And now, dude, like that's awesome. And what is the actual publication?
Oh yeah, the book itself is My 3-Year-Old's a Barbarian and Other Parenting Problems. Like, yeah, it's kind of if you like Lord of the Rings, you'll probably love the book because it's a very heavy. I mean, there's a fantasy of all sorts of references in there, but it's most heavy Lord of the Rings. When I first started with the book, the whole 3-year-old concept wasn't even in there. The concept really was I was thinking about Sauron in the tower, looking for Frodo. And I was like, what's Sauron doing all that time? I mean,
Oh, yeah.
before Frodo gets the ring, is he just hanging out? And I was like, what if he was hanging out with his mom? And so my Dark Lord wizard character in my story is basically there in his dark tower, brooding that he lost, the epic battle of the heroes with his mom. And so he cooks up this plan to basically like take people from another world and put them in the heroes' bodies so we could kill them easy, right?
Right.
So like it's easy to kill them if they're not actually the heroes, but a bunch of high schoolers from Beaverton, Oregon. And so essentially my main character, Petra, she's a TA that works at the school, and she, can't secure daycare when she has to work on Saturday because of detention. And so she's there with her 3-year-old, and then there's this creepy teacher, And all the kids that are at Saturday detention, think of your Breakfast Club
Breakfast
sort
Club,
of assortment of kids. And they all get, the creepy teacher cast a spell because he's in cahoots with the dark wizard, and they all get sucked into the fantasy world, but they're in the bodies of like essentially the epic heroes of the realm that have defeated the Dark Lord and are the, most powerful heroes in all the land. And so, but I kind of sort of screw with the power dynamics because the 3-year-old gets put in the barbarian's body. So
Okay.
think of Conan the Barbarian, but with the
I
mind of
like
a
it.
3-year-old.
Oh, gosh.
And then Petra, the TA, she is put into a halfling. So like a halfling, Frodo
Like
size thing.
Hobbit,
And
yep.
yeah, and as anyone knows, when at least who's a parent, when a kid is 3, they're always trying to kill themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like light sockets and forks and running off of cliffs and like they don't have any sense of danger. And so as a parent, you're constantly vigilant and you have to like if you see him running towards a light socket with a fork, you have the size advantage. You could pick them up and remove them from that situation.
Right.
Or if they don't want to go potty, you can, pick them up and put them in the bathroom and say, "You should really go potty now," and like that size advantage actually helps a lot. Like,
Oh, yeah.
if it wasn't for the size advantage, if like humans were fully grown when they came out, I don't know how
With your
humanity would
cock.
survive at that age. Like, we would all be, like I have
The
a,
things we used to do as kids, like the I can't imagine.
yeah. So I thought it would be fun to have a whole story of like the mom is the size of a halfling and the, the kid is a
Full
Conan the
grown. Yep,
Barbarian,
I love it.
yeah, full grown. So I love that like power dynamic. So yeah, it's a comedy fantasy, it's not straight fantasy. It's plus the Misfits of Kart sort of series title. They're all sort of degenerate in their own way, and that's the sort of crux of it. But yeah, it grows from there. Like the second book, I describe the first book as the people come to the fantasy realm, and the second book, the fantasy realm comes to the people. So, they escape their situation, but then find out reality is fractured and, things start bleeding through. So,
I like
yeah.
it. I like good fantasy, and I think mixing genres is always a good time, especially when you do it the right way. Like, look at one of my favorite movies, Spaceballs. Love Spaceballs
Oh, yes.
because it does the best of comedy and the best of like a love letter to actual science fiction. It's great. And also Mel Brooks, genius. We love Mel Brooks. We've done a ton of episodes about his movies and stuff like that. But I think being able to cross genres is one of the best talents that any writer could have.
Yeah, Mel Brooks is my idol. He's like, if I could aspire to be like Mel Brooks one day, that would be my, I know I've made it like that. Yeah, no, you're speaking my language here. My wife and I too, like Robin Hood Men in Tights is
Oh.
like, we literally talk that about that movie at
My
least
God,
once a
yes.
week where we say something from it,
Oh, the quoting of those movies is we still like we'll still throw out quotes like like I'll hear my wife just go achoo and I'll be like bless you like just
Yes.
out of nowhere. Like I think that was actually one of the first movies when my wife and I were dating. That was one of the first movies we watched together, and she'll still randomly throw on like the other night she put on Spaceballs. Like we were just kind of sitting around. We had the rare moment of downtime, and we're like, you want to watch something? She goes, yeah, sure. Puts on HBO Max. 5 seconds later, I hear the Spaceballs music playing. I'm like, really? Of all right.
Yeah,
Let's do, pour the wine. Let's do this.
no, that, yeah, that is us too. Spaceballs is one of my favorite movies of all time. And it's funny because I like for the book, I really try to aspire to have that humor in there. Like the main villain keeps killing his henchmen throughout the entire book. Like every time something he doesn't like happen, he lops off a head. And at the very end, there's only one henchman left, and so he's like, "Man, attack!" And he's like, "Man, sir,"
Oh,
so
the one they didn't send anybody over from the temp office for
right,
random
exactly.
idiots. That's what I always love that. Like any movie or TV show or book, the bad guy always has this army of henchmen just out of nowhere,
Right,
and
right.
they never address it. Like, is there a service that you have to hire? Like, are they all interns? Like, do they get health benefits? Like, so many questions.
Yeah, I actually wrote a book called The Theft, which was my attempt to write a thriller novel, but it ended up being kind of a Mel Brooksian type comedy book, basically. And I address that exact concept in there where they're talking about like what's the insurance claim for henchmen, I mean, with all the henchmen that are getting murdered, do their family get,
Get
death benefits
benefits.
and right? And
Well,
if so, like what's the amount of money you have to spend to insure your henchmen, if you are providing insurance as an employer of henchmen,
Yeah, what's the my deductible on this one? Like, am I paying out of pocket? But what was it? The first Clerks movie, they have a whole conversation about the construction workers on the Death Star. When the Death Star explodes, like they were all innocent people. They were just there to do outsourced construction workers.
I know my wife and I always talk about like the deaths, like the imperial, the empire doesn't like handrails, like there's no handrails on anything in the
There's
Death
a lot
Star.
of
Like, what
OSHA
is there?
violations going on here.
There is a lot of OSHA violations and,
That's why everybody
unsafe
has
work environment.
a helmet, obviously.
Right,
The
right.
officers have like those big, like the like swoop back helmets, obviously, because
Like,
there's no railings.
what is, and what's the swoop back there? Is it like just like, is it, does it rain a lot or something,
Get the water off.
like, right, is
Do a
that
little
why they
umbrella.
have them?
Yeah, obviously. We're figuring this all out. And you know what the funniest is? George Lucas was probably like, this looks cool. And that's it. That's the whole reason that anything looks, this looks nice. I like it. Like, he made that movie. Like, he used scraps and like pieces, like you could find like pieces of garbage floating around like in like the asteroid field. I think there's like an actual toilet in the asteroid field in Empire Strikes Back. Like
Oh, really? Like
I
you could
think
see a
so.
toilet, like if you freeze frame at the right place.
Well, I think they put it in there like on purpose just for funsies because they could.
Oh.
Because obviously, you look at Star Wars, the first movie was nobody expected it to be a success. That's why George Mer Lucas got to keep all the merchandising rights, and that's why he became a billionaire. And then Empire rolls around, and it's probably got a its budget's probably triple if memory serves
Oh,
me.
yeah.
So it's funny how things like that turn around, though. But for
Oh, it's funny.
you do some podcasting too, right?
I do, yeah. I do a show called Aaron's Horror Show where I mainly just talk about, movies and books and stuff that I'm reading or watching. Occasionally have some guests on, and you'll be on my show. So, so for all of the folks listening, you'll have to come check out Paul's episode.
Yes.
So, but yeah, no, I just talk about what I do, and then I also read my own fiction. So I usually do an episode of something I'm watching or listening to, and then I read, a story. The one that I'm currently reading is that space pirate one that I told you about. That's taken a while because that's a whole, trilogy at this point. There's more planned, but at the at the at this point in time, the trilogy is kind of wrapped up, and I had a idea of how to continue the series after like another trilogy worth of books, but right now I'm too obsessed with this fantasy novel series, and there's also like the monetary thing. There's a lot of people buying the fantasy series at the
Oh yeah.
moment, and when people start buying books in sort of larger quantities than at least I've seen as a writer, I'm like, okay, I got to keep writing this one,
Yeah, I mean obviously, it's like any other service, the supply, the demands, like what people are, and also people dynamics are wild. Like watching the interests of people, like look at The Walking Dead's a perfect example. The Walking Dead created a hysteria for zombie material. Like every It felt like there was more zombie movies and TV shows and books and comics than I'd ever seen before. Like we did an interview with a couple of guys. They created a series called Token with the Dead instead of Walking with the Dead. And it's like about marijuana and zombies. So fun concept. And they were saying like at the time everybody was doing it and they just happened to find success doing it. But like now zombies, you don't see any, and there's no zombies movies or TV. They're trying to keep The Walking Dead going, but it's like the only thing.
Oh yeah, but even then, The Walking Dead, I don't know. I just stopped watching because it was like, there was this, It just got so silly, like about the time when they had a whole tribe of people wearing zombie masks, and they just decided to kill off or have every major character leave and
Yeah, I
not
don't even
really
know who's
do
on.
much with the ones they have, yeah, it just got so like jumped the shark,
And that's the problem, especially like so my issue with The Walking Dead was I started it and I'm not a very good binger. I can't just sit and watch for hours and hours. Like some people can, and that's totally cool. Like if that's your way of like watching shows, then all the more power to you. But for me, especially like in season three-ish, where it drags to begin with, to have episodes that drag one right after the other, I was like, oh, this is killing my momentum.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, my wife checked out around the time Negan came on,
Yeah, that was.
because she really doesn't like when, there's two torturey kind of moments in movies, and which I totally respect and understand, like that's hard to watch, and
Yeah, and
so
the comics are worse. Like I've seen,
yeah.
I haven't read all of the comics, but I've seen bits and pieces, and I like know concepts and things that translated to screen. Because obviously, when Negan made his grand appearance, everybody was comparing it to what happened in the comics, and
Right.
just like some of it's super graphic.
Oh yeah. No, it's funny because I have a high tolerance for that, but I also don't necessarily end up enjoying a lot of those super graphic stuff because I'm very optimistic in I don't know in my personal life and very. I don't know. I find when there's too much of a pessimistic worldview represented in something, I just start checking out of it. Like when the fiction is like people are awful and no one has redeeming qualities and there's no good person alive, and I'm like, but there are, and
That's its own genre too, like the quote unquote torture porn genre that Saw started. I saw the first Saw movie and I thought the first Saw movie was fantastic because there was more focus on the writing and the story and the twist of it all. But
Right, and it was a
then
good concept, and it was and Cary Elwes, like
Cary Elwes, and the ending is still so good. When spoiler alert for the Saw movie that came out, 20 years ago now, jeez, the guy who's been laying there the whole time is actually Jigsaw, and he stands up, and the music and the game over, and he's like, that's it was great. But then they double down on all of the torture stuff in the following movies, and
I
they just went
didn't.
too far.
Yeah, it's like that. Was it Tarantino that did Hostel? There was
Yeah,
someone that, yeah,
or.
Hostel. I
I know
just,
Hostel. Is it Tarantino? I would have to look that up later. We'll find.
yeah, I for some reason Tarantino like sticks out in my mind, but maybe Tarantino was a producer or helped the person that made it. I thought there was some Tarantino connection to that movie, but anyways, yeah, that movie I just couldn't handle. I just like. I'm like, no. I mean, I watched it all because I am a glutton for pain in the sense that I really hate not finishing something, like no matter how bad it is. But I also watched a lot of Mystery Science Theater 3000 as a kid, so you build up a good tolerance for bad movies when Mystery Science Theater 3000 is like one of your favorite,
I kind of
TV
like bad
shows.
movies. I love bad movies though. There's something so like I can still watch the first Street Fighter movie and it's so bad. Right? I can still throw that on. Like it's because especially if I like bad movies where the actors are trying so hard. They are
Yes,
really like
yes.
they're all talented in their own regards and they're just like hamming it up and putting 1,000% into it. The movie itself is shit. I love when the actor like what's that movie? The Room with Tommy Wiseau and all that. Have you ever seen it?
Room. No, I don't think I have.
So yeah.
Oh, wait, is that the one where
It's got
the
like the long
guy,
hair.
he has the long hair, and he's like, I am really mad at you right now.
Oh my
Like,
God,
I am so,
yes, that's it. Oh,
yes, okay, I've seen that one.
oh my. They did the documentary on it a few like a maybe 2, 3 years ago, The Disaster
Oh,
Artist.
yeah, with James Franco,
Yep,
right. I
and
totally forgot about I never saw The Disaster Artist, but I remember going, oh yeah, that's based on that really bad movie that I saw a long time ago.
that movie is the definition. It's like you were saying before, how you could have a good actor, good director, good screenwriter, good and unless all of them are working together, you're not going to have a good movie. That
Right.
movie had nothing. It had nothing. It had
No.
terrible acting, terrible screenwriting, terrible editing. The sex scenes in those movies are laughable. And I still loved it. I still loved every second of it. It's like, who's the Ed Woods? The Plan 9 from Outer Space guy? He tried so hard. He thought his movies were the best thing ever, and they were just so bad.
I know. I love it too, because it's like there's obviously a lot of heart put into something really, really bad. And
Right.
so, you feel bad in some ways having sort of a comic reaction, but from what I heard, the guy that made The Room pivoted his marketing scheme when people started laughing at the movie to say that it was a comedy, and intentionally so, which, I was like, I gotta hand it off to him, instead of
Right? He
getting
took it and
embarrassed and
ran.
mad and angry, he just like went with it and said, oh yeah, I made a comedy.
And now it's one of the biggest cult classics of all time. Like, it has such a cult following that there's still some billboard up for it. And I think it's like LA. Like, this guy who made it is like some mysterious rich guy. Like, he has all this money and he decided he was going to be a filmmaker, put up like a billboard for the movie, and it's still up to this day.
Hilarious.
I
Does he
love it.
pay like does he pay rent on that? I mean,
People don't know, like, he's the most mysterious guy. People don't know where he's from. People don't know, like, because he's got this weird accent, but nobody knows, like, what country, what he did beforehand to, like, make money. Like, mysterious guy. It's very strange.
it's like, his accent kind of reminds me. I don't know if you just saw the new Netflix Rebel Moon.
No, not yet. It's on my list.
I won't spoil it then, but let's just say there's a lot of like accents in there. So I told my wife, it's like Nazis come to subjugate Space Western Eastern Europeans.
Well, you know what? Rebel Moon is Zack Snyder, and I do love Zack Snyder, but he is a perfect example of, he is a great visionary. Like, his visuals and his movies are always really good. He is not the best storyteller, and that's his issue. He needs the right people to, here's my vision, here's how I want it to look, write it for me. Like,
And that's exact. I you nailed it about as far Rebel Moon, the
oh, I'm sure Rebel
what
Moon,
went on with
like,
it,
aesthetically, I'm sure it looks fantastic because
Oh, it
that's what
does,
he
yeah.
does. Like, even his better movies, like 300, 300's a good movie. He just had the right people to, like, translate it. And then you go to, like, Watchmen, where it's beautiful and it is ripped right from the comics. Like, they're literally panel to life, but it's not as good because the script isn't there. So,
Right.
and then you move, I love Man of Steel. But Batman vs Superman, as much as I will defend it, it's still script-wise, it's not strong.
And that's where I always run into problems with Zack Snyder, is like when the script's not as strong, I check out a little bit, of the movie. I love, like, I don't know. So another, I would say, epic director, blanking on his name, Oppenheimer.
Oh, Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan, like Inception, probably one of the best movies ever made, visually, script, everything, like really, really good. And then Oppenheimer, I don't know, I just, have you seen Oppenheimer?
No, not yet.
Okay. It just, I know it's going to be win a bunch of Academy Awards this year, but I felt like for me, it was like, how interesting can you really make government inquisition scenes,
God, yeah.
because there are way too many of them in that movie,
Well,
like he tries to do what he did in Inception, but I don't think he did it as great as he did Inception,
I still say that Oppenheimer only really succeeded because of all the weird Barbie Oppenheimer hype that was happening at the same time. It was bizarre, the Barbenheimer of that all. I don't know how it happened, but
I would have to say Barbie was one of my favorite movies of this year. Like,
it
that
was
was, it
way
was
better than it
brilliant.
should have been.
It
I
was
but now he got a little Academy Award snafu with that because Greta Gerwig, I think, is the director. She didn't get nominated for
amazing.
anything. And Ryan Gosling got nominated for an Academy Award, but Margot Robbie didn't.
That
And
is wild to me.
somebody pointed out, they're like, that's the whole point of the movie.
I know.
It's like it's art imitating life. How can you like, I can't. I don't know how, but it wild.
Yeah. It's funny because I had a, so I got very lucky in when I went to college, a lot of Hollywood people were teaching in my department that I was in. The guy that created the show Laugh-In was sort of my mentor,
Oh, cool.
and then another person who was a screenwriter was also there, and the screenwriting teacher, he was part of the people that vote for the Academy Awards. Like, he's one of those
Oh, wow.
mysterious voters,
All
and
right.
so every year he would get like a pile of screenplays. They send them in book form. Like, it looks like a printed book with the movie poster on the front, but you open it and it's a screenplay for the movie. And he would always just give them to us, so he
Awesome.
never read them. He's like, "Oh, here you go, have a screenplay here." And I'm like, "Oh, cool."
I love it. That's a really
Yeah.
cool.
So, but it's funny. I asked him about the process, and apparently, like, there is quite a fair number of voters, but people can only vote in their category where
Yeah.
they kind of work. So he can only vote for best screenplay. Like, he gets a choice of a limited amount, so they whittle it down to like this limited pool, and then they say, "Here are your choices. Vote for which one you like."
Yeah, that's weird. The Academy Award, it's an outdated process. It's not,
Yeah.
people don't really care as much anymore. And
Right,
I
right.
think unfortunately the whole movie genre, like the whole industry is going through a weird flux. With, people aren't going to the movies nearly as much. That started with COVID. It's kind of helped carried over. And like, I get it. One of our good friends, he used to be on the show regularly. He's married with kids. He would much rather stay at home and pay $30 to watch a movie on Disney Plus than go out to the theater and end up spending $80.
Oh yeah, no.
I don't blame
We're
him, but this is
we're the same way. I think there was a point where HBO had, like, HBO Max said you could watch all the Warner Brothers releases this year as long as you have an HBO Max subscription. And we're like, let's just do that. And we
There,
watched
yeah, we did
like
that
Wonder
too.
Woman and all these movies, that came out that year.
So we did that for some, but like there were some movies I was like, we need, like Godzilla versus Kong was rolling around. I was like, I don't want to watch this on our TV. Like, this is, it's like, that's like Godzilla fighting King Kong. I want to see it on the biggest screen possible.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally. Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I love going to the movies. It's funny, as a dad, it's kind of changed a little bit because, like, movies now, it not only becomes like a process of going out to the movies, but it's like, okay, do we want to add another $50 for daycare,
Right.
or for babysitter, and all that kind of stuff. So really, the only time we end up going to see the movies is when family's in town, or we're over by our family, and like my in-laws live in Beaverton, Oregon, and we were in Beaverton the last time we saw a movie, and that was yesterday. We saw the movie yesterday. It was really good. It was that movie about a guy who, like, basically was a street musician. He was playing music on the street, and he played Beatles songs, and then he woke up in a parallel dimension where the Beatles never
Oh,
existed.
yeah.
So he started a music career,
Creating the Beatles, yep. Yep.
recreating the Beatles. And that movie I really love because I felt there was like so many jokes in that movie about things that never existed, because it wasn't just the Beatles. Like, at one point he's like, "Can I have a Coke?" And they're like, "Okay." And they give him cocaine. And then he looks up on the Google Coca-Cola, and it's like, it doesn't exist. Like, it's only
Huh.
Pepsi. So they do
Yeah.
a lot of jokes like that, where like he asked for something from his universe and it's not in that universe,
Oh
so it
yeah.
wasn't just the Beatles. But I think, yeah, it was pretty funny. It was a good movie, but that was like our last movie we saw in theaters, which I forgot. I mean, that was a long time ago at this point,
Yeah, I can't even remember the last time I went. But unfortunately, we are getting towards the end of our time. Now, at the end of all of our episodes, we do like to play a little game. It is a rapid fire question where it's question answer type thing. I try and cater it to whoever I'm speaking with, if you are interested in playing, of course.
I would love to play. Let's do it.
All right. So, what is a favorite moment of yours from playing in your bands?
The moment that I saw a kid write poetry with our music, and he was from Egypt. Like, he had a Facebook page, and he had all our lyrics on his Facebook page, and it was just like, and
That's
he's
so
from Egypt.
cool.
I'm like, how the F does that happen?
That's awesome. I love when like we have listeners all over the world, and you'll get like some ones like, who is listening to us in New Zealand? Like, are we that interesting? Like, it's so cool. I love
Right,
it.
right.
All right. If you could go time traveling with a burrito, where and when would you go?
I go back to my hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I would go, I would go see what Albuquerque looked like before there was any city there. It's a pretty breathtaking landscape, and so that would be kind of fun. See what the world was like before humans were in it.
Yeah, awesome. What is a writing ritual that you have?
Write 1,000 words every day.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. No, don't stop. Just write. I started off at like 200. It's now up to 1,000. So it's like working out, you can't lift the heavy weights until you've lifted the weights until you get bigger and bigger
Yep.
amounts. So,
I
but
love
yeah,
it.
it's about an hour of work for me now. So
Oh,
not too much, but
that's really cool. And then one last one. What is a genre that you haven't explored yet, but you would like to?
romance, actually.
Yep.
My goal is to write in every single genre, at least one, because I write comedy mainly, but it's comedy and something else. And I haven't wrote a romantic comedy yet. So
All right. I'm going to be on the
got to
lookout
get that
for it.
one.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. But yeah, that's going to take us to the end of our show. Before we leave, if anybody wanted to learn more about you or find your writings or anything along that lines, what would they do?
Yeah, so go to aaronfrail.com to go ahead and learn about me. And there's a free book called Time Burrito, which is about a guy that time travels with a burrito. So if you're wondering where that
What?
question came from, you can get that book for free. You'll join my mailing list. And my mailing list, I write really funny things in addition to, plugging my books. And I also say go check out My 3-Year-Old's a Barbarian and Other Parenting Problems on Audible. Rebecca Woods is the narrator. Podium Audio is the publisher. She did a kick-ass job. I mean, I'm just really happy with the way the book signs out. And you don't even need to buy it. You could use an Audible credit if you're not an Audible member. They give you your first month free, so you can literally get the book for free by joining Audible and canceling your subscription if you just want to listen to the book and that's it,
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, we wish you the best of luck, and we really hope you find a lot of success and keep writing. And I want the romantic comedy from you. That's what I'm waiting for.
Done. I'll work on that next.
I appreciate you. But thank you so much for coming on, and